This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Audioscope. Now, you thought you'd heard the end of it. Counts, recounts, percentages, quotas, split voting, etc. I'm talking election here. But you haven't heard the end of it. Well, not quite. As a totally blind voter, I'd like to make two comments here. Firstly, all of you people with sight who voted at the recent election, you did so in private. And unless you told them, none of your family or friends know how you voted. It's your secret. But not so with me. As a blind voter, I have to have somebody come into the polling booth with me. Then they have to write down the instructions on the ballot paper that I give them. There's been quite a lot of flack flying around over the last few years concerning electronic voting. Hopefully, by the time the next election comes around, people will have got their act together. In this day and age, planes and trains can be driven by computer. When most of our daily lives have some technology connections, surely it shouldn't be too difficult to produce technology that allows me as a blind person to vote in private. Maybe we should take a look at how it's done in other countries. My second comment concerns election manifestos. Following the announcement of the election, NCBI made contact with each of the parties to ask about the availability of manifestos in the different formats. This is the information that NCBI received. Fianna Fáil, PDF and audio on their website. Now, I want to point out here that PDF files are pretty difficult for blind people to access. But the website itself was, well, it wasn't very accessible for blind computer users. Fianna Fáil did make contact with Lena Cousy, Media Services Manager at NCBI, to say that the audio was available on their website. Fianna Gael, the manifesto was available again in PDF only, but no Braille or audio version was available. Labour Party, PDF and text only version, no Braille or audio available. Progressive Democrats, PDF only on their website. Sinn Féin, PDF and text only version. Green Party, PDF, text only and audio on website. Again, I just point out to you that most of these websites are inaccessible for blind and vision impaired people. It must be remembered also that not every blind or visually impaired person is a computer user. The majority of them are not. Why all parties participating in the recent elections could not get their manifestos onto cassette for the benefit of people who don't use computers. And for the future elections, something has to be done to facilitate blind people who are not computer users and want to access the party manifestos. I've never been a great gardener. We haven't even got a garden to speak of at home. But I do like visiting gardens. In my own county, Wicklow, we have Mount Usher Gardens, which I have visited on a number of occasions. And living in Bray, as I do, I'm not too far from Powerscourt Gardens. And living in Bray, as I do, I'm not too far from Powerscourt Gardens, where there's no better place to be on a warm summer's afternoon. But how do we blind people appreciate gardens? I have Sean Pryor on the line. Now, Sean is part of a project that's endeavouring to let people with sight try to get the feel of what a garden is like to a person who can't see. Sean, what's this project all about?
Well, this project, Joe, is about experiencing your senses, your other senses other than sight. I mean, when we go into a garden at home, even our own garden or into a park, we basically just look around and everything is very visual. The world has become extremely visual. It's all television, computers. You don't use your other senses and you tend to lose them. And especially in a garden setting where you really, really appreciate your other senses. So what we're trying to do here is to get people to close their eyes. We're going to put blindfolds on them and walk into a garden space and just experience every other sense that they have. Their sense of touch, their sense of taste, their sense of hearing, their sense of sound, their sense of balance, the sense of heat and cold and all these other experiences that you just don't get when you usually walk, or a sighted person usually walks into a garden. Of course, for a blind person, I mean, they would have all these senses, but we tend to lose out on this.
Where exactly is this garden?
This garden is in the Bloom Garden Exhibition Show, which is on in the Phoenix Park on over the bank holiday weekend. It's a garden show called Bloom, and it's in the Phoenix Park in the visitor centre area of the Phoenix Park, up beside Oros an Uachtaráin.
Is it not a bit dangerous putting blindfolds on people and bringing them in? For instance, now, would you know how to guide someone who's blind?
It's gardening on the edge. But we have been trained. We've been given training by the National Council of the Blind. So we've been shown how to give a person your elbow, walk in front of them, and watch out for obstacles and steps and changes in surfaces that are coming up, and warn them what they're about to feel. And
they will be allowed to touch some of the flowers and
they'll
trees and
to
shrubs
touch
and things.
Absolutely everything. Yeah. This is a garden. This is not a garden that you look at. This is a garden that you totally immerse yourself in. You touch it. You taste it. You feel it. You hear it. You completely immerse yourself in it as much as you can, except you don't see it.
Have you had a go at this yourself yet?
I have indeed.
And what was your impression?
We haven't actually been round the garden because it's under
construction at the
moment.
No, but have you put a blindfold on and been
guided?
And
this whole concept came up last year when we were in college, because I'm studying garden design. Well, I've finished studying now. But it was when we were studying, we decided that we'd go out around Dunleary, around our college, and put blindfolds on to try and experience our other senses that we don't usually use in design, because design is a very visual thing. So we think that design should be not just a visual thing. It should be for everybody. It should be all-inclusive. It should be for the sighted, for people who have less sight than others.
I hear a fanfare behind me here. Yes,
no,
well done,
but,
John.
I mean, gardening shouldn't just be a visual thing. The world has become far too visual and far too surface. We tend to just gloss over the surface and not experience things to the full. So I think this garden is about to show people that gardening is not just about sight. It's about other things that are there, and they're just as important. And feeling things, touching them, tasting them, getting your shoes off, putting your bare feet into the grass, walking over your pebbles gingerly, you know, stepping over things, putting your feet into bark mulch, into
I tell you what, you're going to get
all of these experiences when you go.
I tell you what, Sean, I want to come back to you maybe next week or the following week, or certainly in the near future, to find out. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get to it. I'd love to, but I want to find out what the reaction from people is. First of all, with being blindfolded, because that's a frightening thing for sighted people.
It really is. It really is. It's very disconcerting. And I remember when we had our blindfolds on, we felt very, very vulnerable. And we really relied on the person who is guiding you. You have to put your total faith in the person. So at the very start, we're going to be doing a little bit of training with the people. It'll take a couple of minutes to just get them to settle down, have the blindfolds on, maybe sit down for a couple of minutes, have the blindfolds on, get used to having your sight taken away. And then we're going to guide them gingerly on a very flat surface, just to show them how they need to be guided, and then we'll unleash them into the garden.
I like that, unleash them into the garden. Well, can I just ask you again, that is in the Phoenix Park, isn't it?
It is in the Phoenix Park.
The Garden Festival is on the weekend, and it's in the Phoenix Park. People want to get to this garden project. Has it got a name if people are looking for it?
Our garden does have a name, yes. Yeah. It's called The Garden That Nobody Saw.
The garden that nobody saw.
And nobody will ever see it. Not even during construction. We have a big hoarding up around it, and the other people who are there at the show can't see what's going on inside, because it's not a visual garden. It's about every other thing except being visual. So it's the garden, it's absolutely the garden that nobody saw. And even the judges who are going in will be blindfolded as well.
And they will have to judge the garden by smell and touch and sound and things like that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Sean, can I thank you for talking to me for Audioscope?
You're very welcome, Joe.
I have on the line Eugene Kelly, chairperson of the Fermanagh Talking newspaper. I want to know more about this Talking newspaper, because you, as a sighted person, for instance, can just pick up your local newspaper and read it and find all about what's happening in your area. Blind people, well, things are done differently. Eugene, Fermanagh newspaper grows and grows. How many recipients would you have?
Well, we currently have about 213 tapes going out each week. and about 16 of those go to homes, nursing homes, residential homes, and a couple of community centres.
This is the local paper in Fermanagh, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the Fermanagh Herald and the Impartial Reporter, both local papers. As you know, in Northern Ireland, we've always to be balanced.
True enough, yeah.
Even we stagger now and again.
Well, as long as you stagger, you don't fall down. That's the main thing. Now, Eugene, let's get down to the logistics of this. How is a talking newspaper produced? I mean, you don't just get and read a paper onto a tape.
No, well, we have been 28 years at it and we're fairly well organised. In fact, I would say our volunteers are very professional. We have four teams, each of them read one Thursday night of each month, and we have a fifth standby team to do those Thursday nights.
When you say team, yeah, what do the team... It's a team of readers? Or?
A team of readers, and they have their own editor, if you like, who helps, in most cases, the papers are already cut up and the material that they're going to put on has been selected from the two local papers. So there's no duplication, of course, because you get that in local papers.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet out in Dunkhu in the recording studio, and they record it usually from about 7 o'clock to 8:30, quarter to 9.
I presume then that goes on to some sort of master, does it?
It goes on to a master cassette, which is brought by, again, volunteer couriers down to the library in Omagh, where it is copied and then put in its yellow pouches and sent to the post office for distribution by post.
And it's sent free of charge, of course.
Articles for the blind.
Mm-hmm. You get good cooperation from your local paper. You don't have any copyright issues.
Oh, not at all. We recently discussed various things with them because as most talking newspapers are facing the challenge of having to change things a little bit in the future, we have to go digital, of course. And we decided to discuss that with the editorial teams in
both
papers.
That's going to be a problem, Eugene, because if you're going CD, a lot of the CDs are sort of not rewritable. You can have to throw them away when you've finished.
Yes, but coming onto the market now, there's rewritable ones coming onto the market now. We've done our research. They're slightly more expensive, but it means that the rewritable cassette or CDs can be reused.
So, do you get any feedback from your listeners?
We do now, not an awful lot, unfortunately, but we do get some feedback. We have a telephone answering service in the studio and they ring up and make some comments. And then when we're having either, as in the case of our AGM, we have an open discussion about what people feel about the talking newspaper.
Eugene, in the local papers, people like to look at who's in court and who's dead.
The obituaries and the court news are very popular.
Yeah.
Indeed, when we were 10 years running, one of the local papers had a headline in. They'd done a bit of a customer service review and they went out and spoke to the people who got the tape. And one of the headlines in one of the local papers was, "Local talking newspaper helps the blind to keep in touch with those who have passed away."
I like that. That's very good. Yeah. So they would contact you with regard to sort of what they would like to read. Another question here I've got is your training of your readers. Now, as somebody who listens an awful lot to audio material,
yes,
sometimes a bad reader can spoil it for you.
Well, unfortunately, with volunteers, we have to take the rough with the smooth and try to encourage those who are not as good as the others. But what happens within the team, you see, the team brings the other members on. New members coming in are usually encouraged and given advice by the older team members. And that way we maintain a fairly high standard of readers, in terms of that, as you know yourself, you can read to a microphone. But you must remember when you're reading on a talking newspaper that you're reading to people.
That's true. Cassettes, they don't last forever, do they?
No, we replace our cassettes about three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's expensive enough too, but thankfully it's not that expensive, you know.
Eugene, can I thank you for talking to me? And I just want to point out here also before I let you go that though it wasn't the very first. What was the very first? Or what were the very first?
I think the Mid Ulster one was the very first, followed by Coleraine. I think we came in fairly close behind that.
Yeah. I do know that there are many talking newspapers down here in the Republic as well.
Yeah.
I remember some years ago growing up with people from NCBI at the time.
Yes.
And we hadn't started any talking newspapers down here. And we had a weekend convention with some people from Northern Ireland to explain to us how they ran their newspapers.
Yes.
And they're talking newspapers. And it was quite a, pardon the pun, but it was quite an eye-opener.
Right.
And as a result of which, newspapers, talking newspapers, started and are flourishing down here. Can I thank you, Eugene, for talking to me and wish the Fermanagh Talking Newspaper the best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much, Joe, and good luck to yourselves.
Just before I go, I'd like to remind you that you can download a podcast of today's programme from the RTE website. My thanks to producer Dave McHugh. Joe Bollard wishing you well. Travel safely. God bless. Bye.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio 1. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie/radio1.